I'm really, you know, when we say we're excited, I'm always excited to preach. You know, if I don't feel good and I get to preach, I feel good all of a sudden. It's a medicine for me just to be able to preach the word. And especially the topics that the Lord's been giving me, because identity is huge. Identity is huge. We hear it. You hear it from this pulpit. You hear it from different teachers in our church, and it kind of comes along periodically. We talk about identity because it's so important that we understand what identity is. Now, the world has a way they define identity, and I want to talk about that just a little bit so we can get to the more important part about who we are in Christ and our identity in Christ, okay? So identity, if you do a search on the internet, identity or your identity, a lot of interesting studies come up talking about identity. Here's the definition that the world would give of identity. And it does apply in a lot of ways in spiritual aspects. It's who you are. You ever ask yourself, who am I? The way you think about yourself, the way you're viewed by others or by the world, and the characteristics that define you. So if you know somebody very well, y'all could probably have a conversation of what defines, what are the characteristics of this person. You'll begin to talk about who this person is. And then you start to kind of get an idea what they think your identity is. See, a lot of times we live an identity based upon what somebody else portrays or sends to us or speaks to us, okay? It's the qualities, the beliefs, the personality, the looks and or expressions that make up a person. Your name is part of your identity. Anybody ever done a word search of what your name means? Yes. Raise your hands if you have. It's real simple. You can get on the internet and look it up. Just look up what your name means and see how that might apply to your life. When my mother, you've heard this story, my mother named me she picked my name out of a phone book. I thought, that's so cool, so awesome. I said, Mom, I'm not a family member. No, I didn't. I just like that name, Harold. I said, well, that was about the time that Bill Cosby came out with Weird Harold on the cartoons. So I just didn't, you know, I was like, oh, Weird Harold. I don't want to be known as Harold so much. And they planned to name me and my brother was Sherman. That's a bad name. Sherman Roger Watkins, and I was Harold Ross Watkins, and they were going to call us Roger and Ross. And I'm good with Ross. But that didn't stick. They called me Harold. So many years later, I looked up the meaning of my name, and I think my mother must have known something, or God did, when he named me, because she said Harold actually means a strong leader. And I'm going, okay, well, now I like the name because God's put me in a position to lead. So your name means something. It's part of your identity. Identity may be acquired indirectly. Listen to this, and now some of you are going to go, oh, yeah. Indirectly from your parents. How many of you said, I'll never be like my mama? I'll never be like my daddy. And now that you've grown up and other people see you, man, you're just like your mama. You go, don't say that. You remind me so much of your dad, but, oh, man, I didn't want to, you know. How many of you done that? Be honest. Okay. Got a few people that are honest this morning. We acquire our identity from our peers. Oh, man. That's the tough one, especially when you're in high school, right? How many of you wanted to be like the cool people in your school, and yet you weren't one of the cool people, you know? But you kind of looked at them from a distance. I mean, they're the cool people. You know, we found out that the cool people in our school later on at reunions were still the same party-going cool people that had more troubles and more problems than anybody in the school. See, just for a word of advice, when you think they're the cool people, they're probably not the cool people. They're putting on a facade, okay? Then there are role models. Sometimes we acquire identity by other people that we look up to. Many children come to define themselves in terms of how they think their parents see them. That's interesting, isn't it? I want to live up to my mother or my dad's expectations of me. When your children start to having an individual personality, they're thinking, oh, there must be something wrong with me because I'm not really pleasing my parents anymore because I got a stud in my ear like the day that Wes came home with he pierced his own ear. Where's Wes? He pierced his own ear. He didn't even ask us. Then he got a tattoo without asking us. Well, then he grew his hair down. If y'all can imagine, I should have brought a picture. Wes had hair down to his shoulders and on top of his head, too.
Can we say the word rebellion?
Rebellion, yeah, rebellion. But you know, he was trying to bring, he's trying to find his own identity. And sometimes as parents, we don't let our kids except reveal our identity. Okay, you ready for this? Gender, ethnicity. I don't have or if you're childless, family size and composition, sexual orientation, which is such a huge thing now that people are, kids are being born and they want to wait a while so they can decide if they're a male or female. How perverted is that? Education and career. How many of you know some people are, they're defined, their identities is in what they do. You say, well, tell me about yourself. Well, I'm a doctor. What, that, no, tell me about your identity. Well, I do this or I do that for a living. Listen, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about identity. We're talking about who you are on the inside. Okay, that's when we talk about your relationship with Christ and identity in Christ, that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. So if all these things have decided and made you who you are and Christ didn't make you who you are, then you need to get saved, number one. Then once you get saved, then you start on this journey of finding out who you really are, okay? Here's the thing. You may be defined by your parents, by your job, by this or that, by your past. You may be defined by that today. But before you leave today, I hope you know that that is not the definitive answer or the identity for your life. It's not any of those things. It's who Jesus says you are. I mean, if you were born in poverty and all you have is a poverty mentality, did you know you can be rich and have a poverty mentality? And if you have a poverty mentality, you'll just never have enough. You hoard this, you hoard that. You hang on to this, you hang on to that. If you have that kind of mentality because you were born that way, well, my parents were that way, and I'm just like my parents. Listen, you need to break those things off in the name of Jesus and say that God says, no, He's more than enough. He'll provide all of our needs according to those glorious riches in Christ Jesus. So you don't have to live out the identity that somebody else has put on you. Get way ahead of myself. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Colossians 3. Colossians 3. And we're going to read. This is probably when I found this passage, it was like, okay, this is encapsulated what I believe is going to speak to our identity in Christ. Verse 1. I'm reading from the Passion Translation this week. Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. See, these mics are for that. Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. Are they working? Come on. All I'm going to do from now on, I'm just going to point to the mic. This is why we are to yearn for all that is above, for that's where Christ sits enthroned at the place of all honor, all power, honor, and authority. Yes. Feast on all the treasures of the heavenly realm and fill your thoughts with heavenly realities and not with the distractions of the natural realm or the world. Your crucifixion with Christ has severed the tie to this life, and now your true life is hidden away in God in Christ. That's your identity. And as Christ himself is seen for who he really is, who you really are will also be revealed. See, the more you understand who Jesus is, the more you'll understand who you are. For you are now one with him in his glory. Now, I know that the first thing is who we really are. Our identity in Christ, who we really are. The concept of us understanding that we are one with Christ, that his resurrection is our resurrection, it's almost too much to comprehend. Would you agree? The religious people go, oh, I understand it totally. No! You think about it. We are one with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the creator of all the universe, all the galaxies. He lives in us through his Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, that if that doesn't cause your brain to just kind of stretch a little bit, burn a little bit, hurt a little bit, and go, oh, Lord, how can this be? That you are one with me, that your resurrection, you raised your son to life, and you've raised us to life. He took us from death to life. And listen, that's almost more than we can comprehend. You know how we comprehend that? By F-A-I-T-H. We just grab hold of it by faith. Say, God, I don't understand it, but I am hanging on to it. And as you reveal yourself to me, as you reveal yourself to me little by little by little, I am going to understand more and more and more of who you are. And when I understand more and more of who you are, then I'll understand more and more of who I am in Christ. So we've got to change this thought process of who we used to be into who we are. But we're going to look at that. We're going to look at who we used to be. He goes into that. Verses 5 and 6, he says, live as one who has died to every form of sexual sin and impurity. Live as one who died to diseases and desires for forbidden things, including the desire for wealth, which is the essence of idol worship. When you live in these vices, you ignite the anger of God against these acts of disobedience. It says he didn't say you ignite the anger of God against you. It's against the acts, the deeds that you do that are in disobedience to God. We talked about obedience last week. And so Paul's addressing the church here. He's always addressing the church. He said, look, some of you are still having a problem with your old man. Anybody have a problem with your old man? Don't you want to kick him in the teeth? You really need to kick him in the teeth every day. Because he tries to get up out of the water. He tries to get up out of the grave and come back and say, hey, this is who you used to be. But let's go ahead and make this who you are today. You have to say, no. You got to rebuke him. Because that's what he wants to do. Listen, who we really were. Who we really were. Paul the Apostle used to be something that he wasn't when he wrote this. Do y'all understand that? Remember last week we talked about that, his former life. Who we really were. Paul was a lot of bad things, wasn't he? He persecuted Christians. He had them thrown in jail. He had them killed. He said, that's who I used to be, but that's not who I am now. Who did you used to be? Who did you used to be? Think about it. Before Christ, B.C., who did you used to be? I'm going to ask you a question, a very serious question. Are you still that person since Christ? If you are still that person, Houston, we got a problem. Right? That's not really an amen. That's a, yeah, you're right. Who did you used to be? Who did I used to be? And you know, when you start thinking about who you were before Christ and what he's done for you, he can bring you to your knees. He can bring tears to your eyes. God, I was such a horrible person. I didn't love people. I didn't forgive people. I was all about me. And yet you came in and you changed me. Verse 7. That's how you once behaved, characterized by your evil deeds. But now it's time to eliminate them from your lives once and for all. I like that. Paul says, it's time. If that's who you used to be and that's still a problem in your life, it's time to resolve that. Amen? Anger, fits of rage, all forms of hatred, cursing, filthy speech and lying. Listen, if that's still part of your life, you really need to have a come to Jesus meeting with your identity. Lay aside your old Adam self with its masquerade and disguise. The third thing is, what do we need to do with our old self that still keeps popping up, cropping up in our lives? You see, if the old self keeps popping up in your life, many times what we will do instead of dealing with it, we will disguise it, we will masquerade it, we'll put on a mask. So people can't really see who we really have degenerated or gone back to be. Anybody ever backslid before besides me? Seriously? Man, this is just a bunch of holy rollers in here. Anybody ever backslid in your life? Okay, let's just be honest. It's when you go, well, I kind of like my old life pretty good, and you start falling back in little bit by little bit, all of a sudden you wake up one day and you're just like who you used to be, and God says, that's not who you are. That's who you used to be, so what do you do about it? He said, it's time. It's time to eliminate those things from your life once and for all. It's time to lay aside your old Adam self with its masquerade in disguise. Pastors get in pulpits every Sunday masquerading as pastors. Yeah. Teachers get up and teach masquerading as teachers. People come to church masquerading as Christians. Yeah. And yet they're so far lost. They're so lost, men, that they couldn't find themselves. They just couldn't find themselves because they're so lost. And they need to come to Jesus and find Jesus Christ and be real. I think that's why a lot of people like to come to Freedom Fellowship, because people are just real here. We don't come in all shined up and all polished up and like, how are you, brother? I'm fine, brother. How are you, brother? God bless you. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, and just get more religious language coming out of your mouth. Bleh. And you can look at him and go, really? You don't look so good. Shouldn't probably say that, but unless the Holy Spirit tells you. Be honest. Be honest. What do we need to do? We need to be honest. Mary Lou and I like to watch murder mysteries. Anybody like to watch murder mysteries? Whoo, now you're like, whoo. Yeah, I'm not a backslider, but I sure like murder mysteries. We watch the clean ones, the PBS ones, okay? And we have to have the words because we don't understand much of their language. They say all the words wrong. The bonnet, the boot. You know what the boot is? The boot's the trunk. And you know what the bonnet is? It's the hood of the car. And I know those things. But here's the thing. All of them are the same. It starts out, somebody's jogging, they find a dead person, right? It's something, they're all, and then they find a dead person, and then they call the detective, and they call the whatever that person is that comes and tells them when they died and how they died. And then they start interviewing people. And guess what? Oh, that person that dies, they were a good person. Oh, yeah, they were really wonderful. And then you start interviewing all the people. Oh, yeah, we were good for, oh, I didn't know them. Or all these interviews start taking place. But the more and the more and the more they dig, they find out that person wasn't such a good person. Yeah. And they find out that this person that said, oh, they were so good, really didn't like them. They were jealous about them. And then we find out that they had a kid through somebody else 20 years ago that grew up and killed them. You know, that's how it works. It's always about that lost relative, you know. But what they do is they hide themselves. They disguise themselves. Listen, God says for us to be real. We got to be real. If we're going through some troubles, say, man, I'm going through some troubles, but God's got me. I may be in the fire, but God's in the fire with me. I might be in some water, and it's coming up to my neck, but he's pushing me up. He's keeping my head above water. We just have to be honest and say, God, but we have to declare who God is in our life at those moments. That's who we are in Christ. Verse 10, for you have acquired new creation life, which is continually being renewed into the likeness of the one who created you, giving you the full revelation of God. I like this. New creation life, continually being renewed. Say, continually being renewed. There's something to that. It's not a one time, I got saved, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, all is well, I'll just coast the rest of my life until Jesus calls me home. It's not that, it's a continual renewing. It's an ongoing process. That's the fourth point, constant renewal. Listen, if you're married and you hug your wife once a month, that's not intimacy. Uh-oh. I didn't say have sex. I said hug. And then I just said have sex. I didn't say the D word. Mm-mm, not going to say divorce. Mm-mm. Just saying. Yeah. God requires, listen, if he's called us to live in an intimate relationship with him, then he's calling us to live in an intimate relationship with him. It's not just a, how you doing, God? I need this. Thank you. I'll see you later. No, he's not. He's not the drive-thru at McDonald's. He's not. I love that comparison where, going to McDonald's and getting your happy meal, getting your quick meal, versus would you come and sit with me and dine with me? That's what Jesus says. Yes. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and I will what? Dine with him, sup with him. That means like a 7-course meal. Amen. See, God, he's not interested in us having that, oh, I just need a cheeseburger and fries and let me go. He wants us to sit down and enjoy his presence. That's when you sit down and you got some praise music on and you go and you sit down. Anybody have a prayer chair? I have a prayer chair. This isn't it. This one revolves. I wouldn't get much praying done. Because I'd be doing this all the time. Prayer chair. Anybody have a prayer chair? Okay. And you go and you just sit. You put on, you don't put on blasting stuff like rocking Crip Jesus. You put on intimate worship. And you just kick back. You don't pray. You just soak. You just receive. And then you may go, okay, God, you're so good. I've had a crappy day. It's been a lousy day, Lord. I made some bad choices today. Would you forgive me? Oh, yeah, I forgive you. Lord, I didn't spend time with you today like I promised you I would, and I skipped this morning in the devotional time. And Lord, would you forgive me? Oh, yeah, I forgive you. That's the kind of relationship he wants us to have with him. He's not a God that's waiting to beat us up when we make a mistake. He just isn't. We think that way because of our identity, maybe in our own parents, the way they treated us. And so many people have a hard time with the Father of all, Jesus Christ, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. They have a real hard time with the Father because of their own earthly father who gave them a different identity of who a father was. Men, you have to counsel people. We have to counsel people all the time. What was your experience? What was your dad like? Oh, he was mean. He beat me. He did this. He did that. And you go, well, that's not the father that I want to tell you about. You mean he won't beat me up if I mess up? No. He loves you. He sent his son to die for you. Why would he want to beat you up? He cares about you. Verse 11, in this a new creation life, your nationality makes no difference. Your ethnicity, education, economic status, they matter nothing, for it is Christ that means everything as he lives in every one of us. The fifth thing is that Christ changes everything. Remember, I just read early on in setting up this sermon, I read about our identity can be found in our nationality, our ethnicity, our education, our economic status. Did you remember that?
Yes.
That was on the internet. But what does the Bible say? None of those matter. It doesn't matter if you were born black or white or brown or yellow or red or any other color. It doesn't matter what color you were born. He says that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who your parents were. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter about your education. It doesn't matter. All those things, he said, no, they pale. They pale when you compare yourself and you step into your identity in Jesus Christ. All those things are wiped away. So many people go, well, I'm not smart enough. I didn't go to college. I'll never make it in life. And there'd be word curses, word curses, word curses. And God says, no, you can. You are this. You are the child of the King. You are an heir of God. You are my beloved. I've got you. You're a son of the Most High King. He says, that's who you are. Come on, church. Recognize who you are. Quit letting society tell you who you are. Man, if I let society, listen, if I let religion tell me who I was, I wouldn't be preaching today. You know why? Because I didn't go to seminary. I'm serious. What'd you used to do? I was a used car salesman. Seriously? Yeah. But that wasn't my identity when I was a used car salesman. Mm-mm. You came into the car lot where I worked. You knew pretty quick that I knew Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Guys would come up. You know, they put all of us in a box. And guys would come up, and man, they would look at a car and kick the tires. I never knew why they did that. It just hurt your feet. And then they'd start cussing. Well, it's old, somebody, you know, beep, beep, beep. You know, they'd just start cussing. I'd say, sir, that's not necessary. You take the Lord's name in vain. I'd call them on it. And they'd say, oh, well, you're a used car salesman. Everybody cusses. No, they don't. We don't all cuss. My identity's not in being a used car salesman. My identity's in Christ Jesus. And I heard one of my good friends, oh man, this happened last night. I know Mary Lou hadn't even read it yet. Amy told her. Jeff Willard is one of our good friends. Gave his life to the Lord, had a calling on his life, lost his wife, lost his family over his calling. I'm not saying he did everything right, and he'll tell you the same thing. He didn't do everything right. But man, he loved Jesus. And he went to Ohio Jimmy and Martha Duchette. And last night they came out of this hotel where they had the meeting. And he was sitting out there by himself. And this guy comes and sits down right beside him. And this man is just distraught. He said, man, can I help you? He said, I don't know. He said, He said, I could tell he just came out the bar because he was coming to have a smoke. I said, are you okay? He said, not really. He said, I just lost $11,000 last night gambling. And he said, Jeff said, man, that's tough. Sorry to hear that. He said, you know, there's a better way. That guy said, what do you mean there's a better way? He said, there's a better way, and his name's Jesus. One word. The man broke. The man broke. He said, before I went to the casino, I was reading Acts chapter 2. And I knew that I had turned my life away from God. I was walking away from him. I was the prodigal. But God put him, put Jeff right next to him at the right time. And Jeff was willing to tell him about Jesus. And he said, right there, he said, I got to pray for him. He asked the Lord to forgive him, restore him. Listen, I believe that that's the calling on our lives. See, Jeff's identity was Jesus Christ. That man's identity, even though he didn't know it, was Jesus. It wasn't that he was a losing gambler, that he was a drunk, or that he was addicted to cigarettes. He was a child of the king that had walked away from the king. But yesterday, last night, he found his identity again. You can find your identity again today if you'll trust Christ. Quit letting the enemy dictate who you are. Let God tell you who you are. Jesus Christ changes everything. I want to skip on down to verse 12, Lisa. Colossians 3:12. Kind of get ahead a little bit. You're always and dearly loved by God. So, robe yourself with the virtues of God. Since you have been divinely chosen to be holy, be merciful as you endeavor to understand others and be compassionate, showing kindness toward all. Be gentle and humble, unoffendable in your patience with others. Tolerate the weakness of those in the family of faith, forgiving one another in the same way that you've been graciously forgiven by Jesus Christ. If you find fault with someone, release the same gift of forgiveness to them. The sixth thing, I know it's kind of a weird title for the sixth point, is our fashion statement. Our fashion statement. Did you know one of the reports that I read on our identity is that people, they get their identity by what they wear. They identify themselves by their clothing or by their piercings or by their tattoos. Some people get tattoos because they want people to know what they're about. And their identity's in something external, right? And he says right here, We have a different kind of clothing as Christians. The New King James says, put on. This one says, robe yourself, dress yourself. When you get up in the morning, you put on what? The armor of God. Then he says, these are the characteristics. These are our identity. We robe ourselves with these things. Understanding, being merciful, compassionate, showing kindness, being humble, being gentle, being unoffended, being patient with others, tolerating the weakness of other believers, forgiving one another the way God has forgiven us and has poured out his grace upon us. And if you find fault with someone, release the same gift of forgiveness to them. He said, listen, when we robe ourselves, we don't wear what the world wears. So the world isn't tolerant. The world isn't patient. The world isn't kind. The world isn't compassionate. But God says that we are because that's my son. He said, you are wrapped up in my son. Put on Jesus when you get up in the morning. Amen. Be reminded of what you're wearing. Amen. You can put a bumper sticker on your car all day. In God we trust. And somebody cuts you off in traffic and you shoot them the finger. You ought to take that bumper sticker off. Follow me to Jesus, you know. Whoa, I don't think I'll be following them. They just tried to run me off the road. You see what you're wearing, what you're portraying to the world, it's going to come out of here more than anything else. It's going to come out of your actions. You see your identity, your actions should reflect who you are in Christ. And once they do, then all of a sudden it becomes cyclical. Your identity, your actions, your identity. Your identity, your actions, your identity. They become a part of your everyday life. Right? Or they should. And they should see, wow, they're different. They wear a different kind of clothes. They're making a different kind of statement. See, fashion is a statement. I wear my shirt tails out. That's a fashion statement. Not really. There was a reason for that. I'm not going to tell you, but a lot of people go, well, when you get a little overweight, you start wearing your shirt tails out. Anybody agree? No. Okay. Moving on from that one. So when you robe yourself with Christ, the most important element of your clothing is in verse 14. For love is what?
Supreme.
For love is what?
Supreme.
Through each of these virtues, love becomes what?
True.
The mark of maturity. So when you put on, when you robe yourself in Christ, if you robe yourself and you're kind and you're compassionate and you're forgiving and all these, listen, I promise you that love's going to be there too. Because that's who Jesus is. Love will cover you. Love covers what? A multitude of sins. Love covers us. We're not perfect, and man, we need the love of God to cover us in our frailties. The seventh thing then is love. Romans 7:22, Paul says, truly, deep within my true identity, I love to do what pleases God. You like that? Isn't that good? Can I read that again? Truly, deep within my true identity, I love to do what pleases God. Do you love to do what pleases God?
Yes.
Just think about that one. That's pretty profound. I love to do what pleases God. Well, what would please God today for you? Well, when you leave this building, what's going to please God? The way you live, the way you act, the way you speak, the way you walk, the way you talk, the way you care, the way you tip, the way you speak to the waitress, even if your food isn't the best, the way you react to somebody that's not kind to you at Walmart. We always use Walmart because we know that's where all the unkind people go. And they're open the most. Verse 15, Colossians 3:15. I'm jumping ahead again. Let your heart be always guided by the peace of the Anointed One, who called you to peace as part of His one body. And always be thankful. Say, be thankful.
Be thankful.
That's a good one. Let the word of Christ live in you richly, flooding you with all wisdom. Apply the scriptures as you teach and instruct one another with the psalms and with the festive praises and with prophetic songs given to you spontaneously by the Spirit, so sing to God with all your hearts. The eighth thing about concerning our identity with Christ is the Word and worship. The Word, say the Word,
word.
And worship.
Worship.
If those are not a part of your life, you're not living your identity. Can I say that again? If the Word of God is not a part of your life, and I'm talking about an everyday part of your life, if worship is not a part of your life, and I'm not just talking about singing, I'm talking about your attitude toward God 24/7. If the Word is not a part of you, if it's not ingrained in you, if you're not receiving the Word, if you're not reading the Word, if you're not listening to the Word, if you're not worshiping God in some form or fashion, listen, you're missing your identity in Christ, because He says these are so important for us to continually be in the presence of God. That's what we've got to be about. We've got to be continually going after God. That's where the maturity comes. I remember before we were baptized in the Holy Spirit, I didn't know what they meant by prophetic songs or praying in the Spirit. I didn't know. I just thought that meant, you know, that was for somebody else. That's for those people. But it was for me. You know what the best place to pray in the Spirit is and sing in the Spirit? It's in the shower. Because everybody sounds good in the shower. And if you don't sound good in the shower, just turn the water up a little bit louder. But you want to practice your prayer language, practice it in the shower. God loves it when we sing to Him. He just loves it when we sing to Him. And guess what it does in the process? It builds your spirit. So don't say you can't sing, because then you're saying you can't follow the Word. Because you can't. In verse 17, the last verse. Let every activity, say every activity.
Amen.
Let every activity of your lives and every word that comes from your lips be drenched with the beauty of our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. Ooh, I love how he says that. And bring your constant praise to God the Father because of what Christ has done for you. The last thing I want you to see this morning is when you leave here, as your identity is in Christ, that is your witness. Your identity is your witness. Say, my identity, is my witness. So you can go out of here and you can show the world your old self. You can show the world your old identity. You can talk the way you used to talk. You can act the way you used to act. You can listen to what you used to listen to. You can go to the places you used to go to. Or you can walk out of here today saying, listen, I represent Christ. I'm an ambassador of Christ. I think the world needs to see Christ. I think the world needs to see that I'm not who I used to be. Thank God I'm not who I used to be. I'm not who I'm going to be, but thank God I'm still moving in that direction. Y'all agree?
Yeah.
See, we haven't arrived. Now, say, I haven't arrived. But I'm working on it. That's what God's called us to do every day of our lives. Recognize who we are in Christ. So we can be a witness to the world that needs Jesus. Oh, this world needs Jesus. Our every activity, our everyday lives. Show people Jesus. Would y'all stand? Could we have the ministry team at the front? How many of you have heard of identity theft? Anybody ever had your identity stolen?
Yes.
You see, Christians have their identity stolen all the time. You think, oh, my bank account. I thought that's what you were talking about. I was. Because that's what we usually associate that with, isn't it? So somebody got in my bank account and they spent some money. I've had it happen to me. But the enemy wants to rob and steal your identity in Christ. He wants to rob you of who you are in your everyday life. He wants you to go back to who you used to be. And when he does that, he's gotten a victory. He's won. He's robbed you of something. He's robbed you of the joy. He's robbed you of your faith. He's robbed you of your witness when you allow him to. See, the devil can only do what you let him do. He can't just do what he wants to do. You understand that? He can only do what you open the door and allow him to do. So I'm saying today, no more let him rob or steal your identity in Christ. Say, I am a child of the King. I'm his beloved. I'm an heir of God. I have everything God has. I'm the healed of the Lord. I walk in his presence. I'm filled with his spirit. I'm no longer who I used to be. I'm who God says I am. Say, do you believe what you just said?
Amen.
I don't want you to just, repeat after me. I want you to get that in your spirit that you are who God says you are. And then begin to live like God, how God says you are.
Amen.
Don't let the enemy have another moment of your life.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now, I believe that there are people here this morning that you've allowed the enemy to rob and steal your identity. And today you want to come and say, I need my identity back in Christ. And now I know I just said what I said, but I need prayer today. I need to walk out of here with the confidence that I'm not alone in this, that other people are praying for me and believing for my identity in Christ to rise up in me. Every time we bury, we put somebody in the water, we say, well, you're buried with Christ in baptism. You're raised to walk in what? Newness of life. That isn't just today after you get out of the water. It's every day. That's why that beautiful scripture says, his mercies are new every day, every morning, every day. You don't have to let the enemy keep beating you up for what you did yesterday. Because that's what he'll do. He'll say you're not worthy, you're worthless, you're a sinner, you don't deserve forgiveness. He'll tell you all those things and God will say, uh-uh, no. Shut up, devil. That's my child. That's my daughter. That's my son. I sent my son to die for them. You're not going to have them. He wants his identity. God wants his identity to rise up in every one of us. Every day. Every day. So, Father, this morning, as people are contemplating what their identity is, Lord, I pray that right now that they know more than ever that their identity is not in who other people say they are. It's not in their gender. It's not in their background. It's not by their parents. It's not by their past. It's who you say they are today. And Father, if there's one here this morning that doesn't have Jesus Christ. They don't know you as the Lord and Savior. They don't have any identity. They are lost, Father. They need a Savior. That today would be that day that they would come and give their life to Jesus Christ. And they would say, no more, devil, no more. You can't have me. I've given you too much of my life. Today I give my life to Jesus Christ. I surrender to Jesus Christ. I want a new identity. I want a new makeover. I want a new beginning in life. You give us that, Father. You give us that. You'll give that to people in this place today that have never given their life to you.